Welcome back to Small Town Missing. I'm Thomas.
I'm Will.
And I'm Rhonda.
Hey, y'all are running the show, not me. Why are you looking at me?
That was a surprise look. After, I mean, it's like he expected us to say something.
Well, I know. I said, well, we're just, you know, we're still going on, I guess, the October, you know, scary specials.
Spooky,
over here.
Weird, eerie.
I know. I need to ask how, if like people would be, I thought about getting a scary story, like a short scary story and reading it before each episode or something like that. Like it's just like a little one-off thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, eh, maybe next time.
I thought about redoing our ghost stories from RTW.
I think we could. Guys, it's our podcast. We could do whatever we want.
I think we could too.
I think
yeah, we probably could.
You know, maybe we should put out a special episode on Halloween.
I think that would be fun. Oh, you know what? Honestly, true. We could do that because I'll be back in town by then.
I'll be at work.
Oh, true. Well, you know, we could always record it beforehand or whatever, I guess. But yeah, I'm out of town next week, so we were going two podcasts in a row here, I think. So
yeah, I don't think we're going to have time to record it because this week is the 21st through the 23rd.
Yeah, yeah.
So, looking at this, yep, nope, we got 1 week.
Ah, well, we can always do a delayed one if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But, or if y'all don't want it, if y'all don't want to wait, we have other podcasts on our other, or, you know, scary podcasts that we did on RTW's Wild History Ride.
Yep, we have Ghost Stories, we have, I think there was the Creepy Cryptids,
yeah,
and
Creepy
we have,
Man.
We do, but he was on, was he his own episode?
He was.
And then we have Scary Locations, something else.
Scary Locations. Mm-hmm. We had
a few
Lizzie
things.
Borden.
We did have Lizzie Borden. Yeah, that was creepy. Really creepy.
But I feel like, you know, it's a perfect opportunity. I said, y'all know that October is my favorite time of year here.
I mean, same.
I know. Thomas does too.
Yeah, same here, but probably for a different reason.
What's your reason?
I love the weather.
Oh,
yeah,
true.
I agree. I like her reason too.
It's a good reason for sure.
Although this sudden cold snap kind of threw me for a loop.
I'm still in my shorts and flip flops. You know,
you're
nothing's changed.
Out of your mind.
Oh, it's so good.
He's just crazy, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah,
crazy.
But no, I was literally at work. I guess Monday or the day before. Saturday. I was at work Saturday. It was really warm.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, I get to work. I'm freezing my butt off.
Yeah, it's freezing. I mean, like it's like 40s or 50s now or something,
yeah,
I guess.
It was 29 when I went to work.
Oh, man, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's like, okay, this is not right.
Well, it'll go from hot or cold. We just have bipolar weather in the
we
South
do,
anyway.
We do,
bipolar weather.
What was I said to you this morning? Why is Mother Nature on crack?
I know, she is.
Yeah.
She is.
This time of year.
Yeah,
she definitely never know what you're going to get.
All right, let's get on with it.
Okay. We ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. This one is about Emma Philipoff.
Yes.
And she was last seen in the vicinity of the Empress Hotel in Victoria, British Columbia, between 7:15 p.m. and 8 p.m. on November 28th, 2012.
This is not that old.
No, it's not. Not like our usual.
Yeah. We love the 70s. We have either, you know, we have either the 70s or the 2010s or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Her disappearance remains one of the creepiest unsolved missing person cases that's been covered, and many speculators are hopeful that her case will eventually be solved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Emma Philipoff arrived in Victoria, British Columbia in the fall of 2011. She came to Victoria from Perth, Ontario, and found employment at a seafood restaurant called Redfish Bluefish.
I love that. That's like a Dr. Seuss thing or whatever.
It, yeah, it is. You're absolutely right, Will. Emma herself was a trained chef. She was a hard worker. She would hold several jobs at a time.
Yeah.
And she was described as a loving and emotionally sensitive woman.
I know. She sounds like she had a lot of good people in her corner, too.
Yeah, it sounds like it. She always wanted to live out west, and she planned on finding things out or figuring things out once she arrived in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the work Emma was involved in was seasonal at the restaurant, but she told co-workers around the time of her employment that she would be back to work the following spring. And she officially left the job on October 31st, 2012.
This is fitting. Halloween, 2012.
Yep, we're almost there.
I know it.
Emma's living arrangements while in Victoria would be described as transient. She initially lived with a childhood friend and the friend's partner for a few months upon arrival. And she eventually moved with another friend in the Hotel 760. I'm not sure. Is that, I assume
yeah,
that's still
I
th- in
yeah,
the town?
It, yeah, I believe so. I think it's a hotel, at least when I kind of looked it up and said it just said like Hotel 760. And if you guys want like a big timeline, we tried to, you know, condense this as much as we could. But I think it's on findemmaphilipoff.com. They just have a complete timeline if you want to see, you know, all these kinds of details too.
Okay. And she would stay on boats. She would sleep in the woods on occasion and sometimes sleep in trees.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I've been in the area and definitely lots of trees, lots of wooded areas, mm-hmm. lots of parks, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. She would eventually settle and live in the attic of the Sandy Merriman Women's Shelter on a rotating basis, usually for just a month at a time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And although it's not known for a fact, it's believed that Emma herself was planning on moving back to Ontario. She hired a tow truck driver on November 21st, 2012, to move her Mazda from Souk, S-O-O-K-E, mm-hmm. to the Chateau Victoria parking garage. Now, Souk is a district municipality in the southern tip of Vancouver Island, Canada, and Emma had purchased the van with the intention of living in it and traveling around the island.
Yeah.
But apparently it had some mechanical issues, which would explain why it was going to be towed.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering too when I was kind of researching it. And I was like, well, you know, why is she having it towed everywhere? Apparently, I guess at the time, it was having these issues like we were talking about.
Right. Emma's family didn't know that Emma had been staying at the women's shelter on and off since February of 2012. On November 23rd, 2012, Emma was captured on security footage at the Victoria YMCA. Now, in the footage, Emma appears to enter the YMCA and exit several times as if she's possibly avoiding someone waiting for her outside the facility.
Yeah.
Preceding her disappearance, Emma had phoned her mother, Shelley, who was living in Ontario, several times asking if she could come back home. Emma would ultimately ask her mother, but then quickly change her tone and tell her mother not to come.
Yeah, she's like, and it's weird too, like the mom's like, she would just go back and forth, it seemed like, you know, she thought it was very odd at the time.
I mean, as far as Emma would say, hey, I would like you to come out here.
Yeah, or like, you know, I want to come home, and like, oh, never mind, like I can't, you know, like just, it was like she was just changing her mind on a whim.
In the same conversation, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like on same phone calls and stuff.
Gotcha. During her final call with Emma, Shelley learned that Emma had been staying at the women's shelter, so she made plans to immediately fly out to Emma's location. During their last phone call, Emma even said to Shelley, I don't know how I can face you.
Isn't that so creepy?
That's really
sad.
Ominous.
It's sad and ominous, too. I'm just like, I feel bad for her, too, because you don't know what she was really going through at the time that she, you know, around her disappearance here, too.
Yeah, was it really, you know, was it because she was unemployed or was there something more to it?
Well, and you know, it sounds like it was a planned unemployment because, like you said, it's a seasonal thing. And she was like, oh, yeah, like I'll be back. And I looked on the timeline, too, like on that website. And it appears like she, you know, I think did some working as a maid in some of the times. And like she held like a job, I think, as a barista. It's like, you know, she had other ways of, you know, getting other income, I think. And it wouldn't probably be hard for her to get a job. But it's just crazy that, you know, thinking that, I don't know, I just don't know what she was going through. It's very ominous.
It is. I agree. Eventually, Shelley arrived at the Sandy Merriman house at 11 p.m. on November 28th, which was only 3 hours after Emma had last been seen by police at a location called the Empress Hotel. Mm. We do know about Emma's whereabouts on the 28th, however. Earlier that day, Emma had been captured on a 7-Eleven store camera on Government Street buying $200 prepaid credit card. She had apparently left the Sandy Merriman house at about 6 p.m. that day as well. After purchasing the card, Emma got into a taxi and asked to be taken to the Victoria International Airport. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's like she's planning on going somewhere. I don't really get the credit card thing, though. You know, unless, like, why buy a prepaid credit card? The only thing I can think of is, like, maybe you don't want your transactions to be tracked, potentially, maybe, by using a prepaid credit. Because I think she used her debit card to pay for this, like, prepaid credit card.
I was going to ask, did she have cash? Is that how she bought it?
You'll see, too. Like, I think she bought it with a debit card. She apparently, I won't go into it much, but, like, this next part of the story is very weird, knowing some of the aspects of her financial situation at the time. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Well, she never made it to the location. She never made it to the Victoria International Airport due to a lack of cab fare, but she didn't use the prepaid credit card she just purchased to complete the trip either. Mm-hmm. Minutes after Emma left the cab, she was seen walking barefoot outside the Empress Hotel by an acquaintance named Dennis Quay. Quay called 911 thinking Emma was in distress, and the Victoria police arrived to talk to Emma and took her name and spent about 45 minutes speaking with her. They released her shortly after, thinking she wasn't a threat to herself or others. Mm-hmm. Emma goes off the radar after this meeting with the police. Police meet with Shelley at the Sandy Merriman house, and Emma was then classified as a missing person after this. Now, do you know how long that took before they found Shelley?
So, I think it was the same night that Emma technically disappeared. Like, I guess somehow she got in contact with the police and described her as missing. But I believe, if not a few hours maybe after she was last seen, I think it was the same night, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Now, initially after her disappearance, police stated that she had been seen with friends at Burdett Avenue between Blanchard, looks like, B-L-A-N-S-H-A-R-D, and Quaidard Streets. More than 200 leads were investigated, but little information arose from these inquiries. There was essentially no proof that Emma ever left Victoria, even though police think she was planning to return home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to an article by Derek Spaulding from Timescolonist.com, only about 5 missing person cases have gone unsolved in the capital region within the last 50 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And Emma is one of those.
Isn't that crazy, too? Because, like, it's at, like, this next little part, it sounds like they know what they're doing when a missing person comes up. And you'll kind of hear about, like, kind of what their typical schedule would be like, I guess, if, like, once a person goes missing. But it just goes to show, like, Emma's disappearance is very odd, and it just doesn't seem... There's not really a rhyme or reason as to why she would have gone missing, but it's just odd. I don't know. It's just it's very interesting. This kind of stayed with me, I feel like, as I was like researching it a little bit.
Yeah, the article goes into how a missing persons case is typically handled by the police officials. In the first few hours, police put alerts out at the airport, the BC ferries, the BC Transit, bus lines, and taxi companies. Well, that's quite a net to throw out there.
And so, like, if someone sees, like, hey, we're looking for this person, like, just let us know if you find them or something like that.
Okay. Access to bank records and traces on cell phone usage are also obtained by investigators quickly. Hospitals and shelters are also contacted to get information on the missing person as well. And none of these leads led to any information about Emma's whereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
After Emma's disappearance, Shelley spent 2 months searching Vancouver Island for any signs of Emma. Shelley would walk the streets of Victoria, putting up missing person posters of Emma, and she would talk to anyone who claimed to have seen Emma. And at one point, Shelley even traveled to the downtown east side in Vancouver, but she never produced any solid leads.
Yeah. It sounds like she was really trying, because, like, I think even in some of the other resources, it's like she would get, you know, so many people out there searching for her, like, just like putting, you know, just walking the streets. And sometimes that's just what you need to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, eventually, Shelley went back home. It was February of 2013. She was empty handed. No information.
Rhonda, do you think, like, I mean, that's just so hard. Like, imagine how, like, much of a struggle that probably was for her.
Oh, yeah. So she was looking for at least 2 months, I guess, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That had to be difficult to say, okay, I've got to leave here. I've got to stop looking and go back home.
Mm-hmm.
It's alleged that Emma may have been suffering from a mental breakdown, and suicide has always been thought of as a possibility, but there's no definitive proof of that theory. After her disappearance, police searched Emma's van and found Emma's laptop, journals, a camera, and her passport. Victoria Police Department also searched the waters of the inner harbor of Victoria using a dive team, but nothing was found.
Mm-hmm.
Not much happened in Emma's case until December 5th, when the $200 prepaid card Emma had purchased was flagged for use.
Yes. See, Rhonda, I was trying to, like, surprise you.
Yes, at a gas station near the Juan de Fuca Recreation Center and Galloping Goose Trail, which is about 12 kilometers or 7.5 miles from downtown Victoria.
Yeah, which is like where she was last seen.
Yeah, no kidding. The man who had it allegedly used the card was questioned by police but eventually let go. Okay, so this was like 7 years later, is that right?
I think so, if I'm not mistaken. It's just like, what date? Did I write the date down on there?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You said December 5th.
Yep.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought, for some reason, I was thinking 2019. Do you recall the year?
I think it might have been just a few months, like that next month or something like that.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, y'all, I'm sorry. I did forget to put the date on that one.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I don't know why I was thinking 2019. Okay, so we're thinking it was still in 2012.
I believe so.
Okay. let's see. So the man had allegedly used the card, was questioned by the police, but eventually let go.
No, he was let go. Apparently he was let go. I don't even know if we know a name on it. I couldn't really find a name associated with it, but you'll kind of find out, like, you know, I guess in just a second, so I won't say too much more, but it's interesting.
Okay, so although he was let go, the same guy contacted Shelley multiple times saying he wasn't sure where he found the card and that he was an alcoholic.
Yeah, so maybe just saying that maybe he was on a bender or something like that, found the card somewhere, doesn't really remember where, and then just like used it to purchase like alcohol allegedly or like whatever. So I don't know. He would be my number one suspect, I feel like.
Yeah, where would he have found the card?
Yeah, because I've seen like some Reddit posts being like they, especially like Emma being barefoot and stuff at the time. Maybe she like walked into one of the forests surrounding like that area and like maybe died from exposure, technically, is like what I think some people are thinking. So maybe she dropped the card along the way. And I do, I think I forgot to mention too, I think she bought like a prepaid, like a cell phone type of situation, and it was never like activated or used or anything either. So that's another odd, you know, aspect of the case.
Okay. Wow. A year and a half later, May of 2014, an unidentified man was captured on surveillance video walking into a store at Gastown neighborhood of Vancouver with a crumpled up poster of Emma. After claiming that Emma was his girlfriend and she wished to be left alone, the man left the store.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, listen, knowing, because there's these little amounts of cases around the time, they're like, hey, we're going to call the police. You know?
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Okay. The store's owners called 911 immediately to report this, but police officers didn't arrive until the following day to take the report. The man was wearing a green shirt with multiple tattoos on his arms and walked with a noticeable limp. He has not been officially identified.
And you can see him, too. Like, you can see his face. Like, all these things. You would think that he would be identified at this point.
You would think so. Now, this is 2014, so it's not that long ago.
No. I mean, none of this really feels like a long time ago. But it's just weird knowing that they have all this information around, like, the timeline and stuff. And then it just, like, goes cold. I mean, they know a lot about what she was doing that day. And just, like, after this, nothing. So it's very odd.
Yeah, you would think something like, I mean, that's 8 years ago. You would think that they could put pictures of him out on social media and someone would be able to identify
him. And I'm sure they have. Like, I have seen a few pictures on social media, but it is weird that no one's ever, like, I think officially identified this man that I know of.
Okay. The article by Spaulding also mentions that Emma would have had enough money in her bank account to find a place to stay besides the women's shelter. So it's not known why Emma stayed there shortly before her disappearance. Mm-hmm. Besides this fact, Emma apparently had roughly $2,000 to $3,000 in her bank account, plenty of money to pay the $60 cab fee to the airport.
So it's like, why did she get out, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I typically think maybe the mental break is more of a, you know, idea behind this, because maybe she just wasn't in her right mind. Like, it's not her fault, just it's maybe what was happening. But, you know, it is odd just to say that, you know, she would have had maybe other options. And who knows if she would have paid the cab fare, what would have happened?
Wow. Okay. At the time of her disappearance, Emma was 26 years old, 5'5", and roughly 90 to 110 pounds. Wow, she was tiny.
She's tiny.
She had light brown hair, brown eyes, liked to wear knit caps, and she's described as having a tan complexion and unusually long hair. Mm-hmm. You can access the timeline of this case at helpfindemmaphilpott.com, and you can even print and post a poster of Emma from the website as well. If you have any information on this case, please call 1-800-222-TIPS.
Yes. I was like, this seems like such a case that could be solved. You know, I don't know. Just to me, with all the information they know about it, especially with that person of interest.
I would think so. Like I said, it's 8 years ago. They have, camera surveillance. They could post that, like, out on media, social media. Mm-hmm. And I would think someone could find it. But like you said, find him. They've probably done that.
Yeah.
So it's really unusual. So what do you think? You think she wandered off into the woods?
You know, if something with that guy, like, unless he was some kind of, you know, maybe if he wasn't in his right mind either, like, maybe him having something to do with it. But also, I mean, her going back and forth in that YMCA, like, acting like she was kind of being followed or like somebody was waiting for her. That's kind of odd. But also, I mean, that could be explained by a mental breakdown. So I feel like it could be either one. It's like the Moore Murray case. It could be either thing, you know?
Yeah, an abduction or just a disappearance.
Yeah. And because like no one's typically like, around that time, I guess she wouldn't have had necessarily anyone to report to. I mean, her mom knew kind of what was going on at that time because she had maintained like phone contact. But, you know, she didn't have a job to report to. It wasn't like anything like that because she was, you know, without a job at that time, I'm assuming, because, you know, it was a seasonal thing. But I don't know. I mean, Thomas, what do you think? You've been so quiet this episode.
Don't really know. I mean, there's a lot that could be considered.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
She could have just had a mental break. She could have just said, screw it all. I just don't want to deal anymore.
Yeah, it's true. I just hate the fact that it was like her mom barely missed her, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that's like, because, you know, I guess like, and Rhonda, I don't know if you can like be a testament to this. Moms just kind of know, you know, like moms just have a sixth sense about some things sometimes. I know my mom does. I just have a feeling you do too. So I know you could probably, you know, be like, oh yeah, like this makes sense, like mom to mom.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like something's wrong, so I need to be there.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just, it's a really creepy case, but who's to say? Maybe it'll be, you know, maybe they'll find some new information.
I hope so. You would think it's not that old, relatively speaking, it's not that old of a case. You would think they could find some information on her.
Very true. But yeah, that Emma Filipov, like Find Emma Filipov website is amazing. I think it's probably, I think her mom is in association with it. Like she has, you know, she's helped put information and like collect, like kind of collect it all and post it to this website. So it's a great resource if anybody's looking into more of the like nitty gritty details of this case, because they have like very specific times. It's great if you want to look at it.
And I guess they have pictures. Do they have pictures of the guy who came into the store?
I believe so. I believe he's on there. Like I said, you can like, I think donate. I think you can post pictures of her missing person, you know, like the actual poster. So it's really cool. So, I mean, it's a good resource. I wish every single missing person that we talk about had a website like this.
As always, our sources will be listed in the show notes, and you can follow us on Instagram at Small Town Missing.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Bye.